Hey, you want that to go?
It's time for Takeout. That's a quick look at the stories we want you to be following this week. First up is Louise Story, finance reporter for New York Times.
Good morning.
And our Takeout pal. Hi, Louise. Goldman, you have a story in the paper this morning in the Times that Goldman's bosses, for some of their executives, are moving around with bonuses because there's an uproar over executive bonuses. Tell me this isn't something that's Ponzi-like, that they're not just taking cash up front and moving it a few years down the line.
You fear an evil scheme here.
I'm dubious.
I can't imagine why.
I'm dubious, but explain what they're doing at Goldman.
So what they're doing is the top 30 executives there will receive all of their bonus in stock, no cash. Typically, bonuses are paid partly in cash, partly in stock.
Right.
But let's be clear here. You can make a lot of money in stock.
In stock, right.
There's no limit on, this could be, you know, $40 million in stock. I mean, they didn't put any limit on how much stock, but it will be all stock.
So here's my question. If Goldman is doing this because there is an uproar in the country over executive bonuses,
mm-hmm.
is there no discussion of not doing bonuses? Instead, they've just moved them later and they can still be $40 million.
So on Wall Street, there is a widely accepted view. This is within Wall Street. It's not certainly not average Americans. But on Wall Street, people believe that you've got to pay people for their hard work. And frankly, from their point of view, the last 2 years have been full of a lot of hard work. So Goldman's doing this.
Wait a second.
I'm telling you their view.
I'm just saying a bonus isn't necessarily paying someone for their hard work. Their salary is paying them for their hard work.
But, you know, Goldman has had a very profitable year, so they point to that. And what they are doing here is they're locking up the bonuses for 5 years. So that's
But if all that is true, why not just be honest about it, saying, you know what, they worked hard, we made a profit, we're paying back money, bonus.
They're doing that. But they're doing both, so they're trying to appease the people who fear short-term profits, but they're also trying to pay long-term bonus. But this is part of a much broader discussion.
Right.
And so we're going to see a lot of companies addressing this in the coming weeks. Today, we're going to see the compensation czar ruling on AIG and Citi.
Yeah, what's going on with Citi?
So Citigroup is one of the few companies that's still underneath this compensation czar appointed by the Treasury Department. Bank of America got out last week and they repaid the bailout. So Citi executives last night, late into the night, were negotiating with regulators to try to repay the bailout money because they would like to get out from these extra compensation rules that companies like Goldman don't have. The problem for Citi is that they got more knee-deep in this bailout than any other bank.
Might have gone beyond the knees, actually.
Well, maybe be up to the hip.
Right.
But that's because they let the government convert part of the bailout into common stock. So not only do they need to transfer the money back in an account, but the government has actually got to go sell that one-third stake it has in Citi. So it's much more complicated, and it may take them a while to work it out.
And time is of the essence. Citigroup
time
wants,
is of the essence.
They want
bonuses.
Out from under the tarp so they can get those bonuses. All right, thanks, Louise.
Thank you.
Okay, now for a publishing takeout. Yesterday, newspapers were dealt a massive blow like they needed another one, but the Nielsen Company closed Editor and Publisher Magazine. It's the leading trade magazine for the newspaper industry, been around for 125 years. Greg Mitchell was the editor of Editor and Publisher. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning to you.
When did you get the news and how?
We got it yesterday morning, really without warning, except we had heard, as most people had, rumors about Nielsen selling a bunch of leading magazines. And so, you know, we were sort of on guard for possibly being sold, but we certainly didn't expect to be shut down.
Completely
shut
down. Yeah, they owned about 40 trade magazines, Billboard, Adweek, and most of those, like as you say, were sold off. Editor and Publisher was shut down. It does seem kind of odd timing, does it not, Greg, that at a time when the newspaper business is in crisis.
Right.
Everyone's trying to figure out how to monetize journalism and monetize news so that newspapers can sustain themselves, that they're turning down the magazine that found jobs for journalists.
Right.
That, yeah.
Well, that's how we feel about it, and we've sort of chronicled and pushed and followed and analyzed in the past few years, focusing on the transition, on the first the threat of online and then the opportunities. We've been one of the catalysts in getting people to pay more attention to that. We're an independent journal, so it's very rare for trade magazines not to be sort of rah-rah about their industry. And we've been more critical and willing to go out on the limb and suggest things that needed to be done way in advance of the current crisis. So it is certainly a situation where an independent voice on the troubles of the newspaper industry is much needed and will now be missing.
Well, Greg, under normal circumstances, I would tell you you could look for a new job in Editor and Publisher magazine, but you can't really do that anymore. Thanks so much.
Greg. We do have some hope for going on because the outpouring of support from people who have heard about us folding has just been absolutely overwhelming. So we're still hopeful someone may step forward.
Well, good luck. Greg Mitchell was the editor of Editor and Publisher magazine.
All right. As always, our last takeout comes from you, the listener. Yesterday, President Obama accepted his Nobel Peace Prize in Norway. A lot of you wrote and called in to say whether or not you think he deserved it. Not surprisingly, of course, this was a pretty contentious issue. Here's Bill in Port Washington, New York.
I believe the Nobel Peace Prize was given to the American people as much as it was given to Barack Obama for electing a African-American as president. This speaks volumes to the whole world, and certainly President Obama has broken huge barriers to bring peace and understanding to the world.
And that was something the White House certainly tried to argue back when the prize was announced. But others of you said, don't be so quick. Michael emails us at mytakeofthetakeaway.org. He says, this just shows you how politicized the prize is. This is a joke. Obama doesn't deserve this and didn't earn it. He is the leader of a bankrupt, overextended imperial empire with troops in 70 nations and two active wars raging with no real end in sight. This is a disgrace.
Michael wasn't the only critic. Daniel thought many people made too much of this event. He emails us to say the president is no less wise than any other Nobel Prize winner and no less deserving. Those who say he must earn it, earn what he already has, they know in their hearts that President Obama will never be able to satisfy them, no matter what he achieves.
Of course, we always want to get your views on whatever we're talking about at 877-8-MY-TAKE or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Coming up, anniversaries can be a happy thing, but not if you're a victim of the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.